Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the sixth chapter of Matthew, 34 verses, translation and commentary. And we also have part 7 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a couple of letters, and let's all go to the throne now to ask the Lord to anoint with his outward anointing this service. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we thank and praise your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for the experience that I've received in almost 41 years of service with you. I thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to me in all the supernatural ways that you have. And even to this day, you continue letting me hear your voice and to feel the reins of your spirit guide me on the day, moment by moment. Lord, I pray that I thank you for salvation, for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the inward and the outward anointing. I ask that you pour out in a very supernatural way today, Lord, your outward anointing. Lord, I pray that everything, I want everything that is said on this tape to be directly from the throne of the Almighty God, from you, Father. Lord, open up my mouth and fill it with your words. Let the commentary be edifying to the church, and Lord, let it be salvation to those that know you not. Lord, I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where are the letters from?
The first one is from Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
All right, let's go ahead.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for having sent us some English Bibles, which help us in our Bible studies. And we cannot forget your newsletters, which supply information and Bible teaching to us. We will keep praying so that God's blessings will continuously pour on your ministry. We intend to make you become aware of the success your work has had in the lives of our friends, who have changed and are now serious in their Bible studies. Really, you are doing a good work. With the intent to continue the same progression, we want to request the following: a large number of your newsletters, 2 Bibles, and more information about your church. May God infinitely bless you and all brothers and sisters who are contributing for the continuous realization of this work. We love you so much. P.E. from Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Well, again, I'd just like to straighten people out. I understand what he's trying to say, but it's not my church. The church is you. The church is me. The church is everybody. We are the temple of God. We are the body of Christ, which is the church. Each individual are individual members of the body or the church. The buildings that we worship in are gathering places. I am a church, and everyone who carries the gospel, who has the Spirit of the Lord in, who the Spirit Christ has been born in, is the church. And there's no other church. There's only one church, and all of us together are the church. So you needn't ask me about my church. If I'm feeding you the gospel, if you are feeling fed from the things that God is saying through me unto you, well, then you know all about me. And if you are ministering unto me, then I know all about you. I don't need to write a thesis on me, because I've written hundreds and hundreds of pieces of literature, and I've done thousands and thousands of tapes. And so to know about me, a church, a temple of God, all you need to do is listen to my tapes and read my literature. just refer to that. And it's sort of offensive to me for people to say, tell me about your church. I'm wondering if they want me to tell them about the building, the different buildings that we worship in, or if they want me to tell them about my life, or each individual that is a church in the gathering place. What do they want me to say? I've done hundreds and hundreds of pieces of literature and thousands of pieces of these tapes, and now we're transferring over to CDs. And just listen to them, and you'll know all about myself, one of the churches of the Lord, or one of the members of the Church of God, the true Church of the Lord. All right, then what else?
Then from Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, best greetings to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Thank you for the literature you sent to me. It always finds a place with those I give it to. In fact, they receive it with eagerness to read and meditate on the Word of God.
Right, see, right there tells you about the church, about myself, because myself is a soul winner. And so that's all you need to know, is that I'm a soul winner and I'm a person that edifies the church. And what else would you like me to tell you? Amen? What else could I say? It's not me, it's the Lord's church. Amen? So I can't say I have a church. The Lord has churches, temples to live in. And the Lord's church is me and the people around me that really, not the hypocrites, not the phonies, but the ones that really, and I have them around me, just like every true church of the Lord does. But still, I can tell when somebody is of the Lord, and they needn't tell me anything about them because they're too deep. They're like huge, deep wells of water that the Spirit keeps drawing up to feed others. And so, you know, this is endless. I would never ask somebody, tell me about your church. There was a Attorney General here in the state of Arkansas years ago, and his wife came to me and says, we were there at a gathering for some reason, and she says, tell us about your church. And I said, hickory dickory dock. You know, because that's just, and then I just turned and walked away from her. She knew all about me because the Lord is not doing a work through me in a corner. I mean, we're on the streets with the literature. We're everywhere. We're on the radio stations all over the world now. Amen? Yeah. And we've been on television all over the world. So just listen, and you'll know all about me. And because me is going to tell you about Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what... If you want to know about my church, read the Bible. My doctrine is the Old and New Testament. The Old and New Testaments. Okay? Let's get that straight right now. Okay, then what?
Your extension of your work in this part of the world has saved more souls from destruction. I appeal to you to put me on your regular mailing list of distributors. It is my prayer to work with you in this noble cause of proclaiming the true plan of salvation.
Now, I can tell this man is of the Lord. I don't need to have, tell me about you. Can't you tell about him right now?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
This man wants to win souls. He's 100% in my book. Okay? I don't need to know any more about him. Just send him the literature. Let him wail. Amen?
Amen.
Let him fish. For men. All right, then what else?
As a result, new work has started in some areas because of your prayers and literature. We request 30 Messiah books, 100 Holy Bibles, 1,000 each of Earthquake, Mass Suicide, Signs of the Times, The Fighters, Broken to Pieces, Servant of the Lord, and Biting the Bullet, and other world newsletters. When I received the literature...
Now, I really know this man is of the Lord because he picked all the supernatural things. The Lord, I was writing all kinds of Bible, and the Lord told me to write the supernatural things that you've experienced by me. And so I told him, I wrote them all down and put them out, and he asked for every single one of them. Almost, okay? He probably never got the other ones. And this, indeed, this man is a real trooper, a real Christian. I don't need to ask him, well, tell us about your church. That is so plastic that it's, you know, and these people, I support people like this, people that really are, they don't ask for anything, but then if he runs into a snag, I'm going to be there. Okay, because I believe I know this man. Okay? Just by this letter, I know him. Okay, go ahead.
When I receive the literature, I share it with other church leaders.
See,
who are...
See, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I know him. There's a kindred spirit. I love that. I love this kind of a person. Man or woman, whatever, whoever it is. Then what? It's a brother. He's a church of God. For sure. After writing thousands or hundreds and hundreds and thousands of messages, really, and dictating them and talking to people and all these different messages, people should know me. I'm an open book. Amen?
Amen.
They shouldn't ask, tell us about your church. This man knows about my church. Amen?
Amen.
He's not questioning me or, you know, what is this, the FBI or somebody? The FBI knows about me. And the FBI knows about you people that don't do anything for the Lord, too. They know all about you, how nothing you are. And they know that one thing about me, they may not believe what I'm saying, but they believe I really believe what I'm saying. And if they picked up the Bible, they'd believe that I'm preaching Bible. Nobody really ever challenges me in that regard anymore. No one ever challenges to debate the Bible with me on television or radio, live. They never do. They used to, and then they got put down so bad that they stopped. And I'm willing to, you know, talk Bible with anybody in the world. I don't care if it's who it is. All right? So let's go ahead.
When I receive the literature, I share it with other church leaders who are involved in evangelism. Jesus said, quote, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come," unquote.
This is a real Christian. Then what?
Matthew 24:14. May the good Lord bless you as you continue laboring in his vineyard. May I hear from you soon. Yours, sowing the good seed, IP from Zambia, Africa.
Yeah, and may God bless you too, brother or sister, whoever you are. And write a letter to him saying that I love their letter so much that I put it on the air, and I just really know that this is a brother or sister. And I really pray, Father God, to bless them in every way. And I know you are, in Jesus' name. Okay, is that it now?
Yes, sir.
Those are all the letters?
Yes.
All right, that's all that we're going to do on this tape anyway. We have thousands of letters, literally thousands of them. And so let's now start reading translation, Matthew chapter 6.
Jesus teaching about giving to the poor, the needy. Verse 1, quote, "Take care!" exclamation mark. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired, because then you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that they have to impress the pastor or they have to impress somebody. But one thing I knew for sure when the Lord first started talking to me is that He knows everything you're doing. And so there's no point in trying to show off to somebody or try to let anybody know what you're doing. I primarily stay inside the house. I rarely go to services anymore. And I know that my Heavenly Father knows that I'm busy doing His will. And that's good enough for me. And the Lord will bless you openly. There were times when I first got saved that I had to do all kinds of menial work. I was in the recording industry and promotional industry and had all kinds of things what the world thought going for me, and I just went down to the... I just went to do whatever the Lord wanted me to do. I didn't care if it was cleaning someplace or fixing beds in a motel or being a desk clerk. Actually, I was managing about a Z-rated motel in Las Vegas with Sue, because that's where the Lord put us. We went there to get married. And I said, why should we do that when the Lord married us in visions? That really actually happened. But she said, well, just to satisfy the law of the land. And I said, okay. So we'd never had any relationships at all. We went there, and she said, now we have to get a job. I said, I own a Beatles album here. Why don't we just sell that and get all the money? She says, no, don't do that. The Lord wants us to just go right down to the bottom with you. And so I wound up with this job at this hotel on the Strip. It was called the Cal Neva Hotel. And we were actually managing a wedding chapel there, too. And I was the manager, the one that would check in all the people. I was the person that did all the maintenance. And I'm legally blind, and I had to get up on the roof. I'm not totally blind by any means, but deemed totally legally blind by the Blind Society and eligible to receive blind pension. And I would paint, and I did all the maid work. I'd have to go in and fix the beds and clean the toilets and everything, because that was the job. There were no maids there. And then I also had to run the wedding chapel. Somebody would ring a buzzer. They'd come in at 3 or 4 in the morning. They want to get married, and I'd have to run next door to the Cupid Wedding Chapel. I don't know if it's still there or not. And then I'd have to call a minister, because I wasn't registered in the state, and they'd choose their preference of whatever denomination they were at. And I did all that. I went right down to the bottom of the barrel. From living at the New York Plaza Hotel and living that type of a life, all sorts of things that I did. I was the one that started the 20 original hits you can't buy it in the store that you see on television today. I'm the one that came up with that idea to sell records over the air and distribute them myself. And I was in the recording industry, all sorts of things. And I was even asked to do the promotion for the President of the United States. As a matter of fact, the entire Democratic Party, to do promotions for them. And was the Executive Vice President of the American Hill Studios. And I knew how to make money. And I owned it because I did the promotion for Peter Best of the Beatles. And I still own the album. And I've been told it's worth... some people say $50 million, $100 million. I've never sold it to this day. But I went down to the bottom of the barrel because I wanted to know for sure that it was the Lord blessing me. I want everything that I get to come from the Lord. I don't want any to say Tony Alamo is the one that got all of this. But read that last statement there, so, because this is what triggered off what I'm saying now.
Take care. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired.
Right, so I was doing these things. not wanting to be a big evangelist because I just wanted to let the Lord lead me. And I made a pact with myself that I'm going to embrace adversity because it's going to make me the kind of person that the Lord wants me to be. And if the Lord wants me to clean toilets or scrub walls or to get up on a gravel roof with my hands and knees in 110 degree weather in Las Vegas or 115 degree, I didn't like it, but I knew it was like wiping my flesh out. And the Bible says that we have to put the cross to our flesh. I did not like it. And this man would come over, and we were not paid a lot of money. It was very low wages. And he'd tell me, now, look, it's you got to do this, and you got to do that. And I'd say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I'd just keep doing it because I knew, because of what Sue told me, that if you just bite the bullet and you just go ahead and shoulder the cross and put up with whatever comes your way, embrace persecution, embrace trials and tribulations, and let the Lord show you that the power of himself in you is powerful enough to be able to cause you to go through any trial or tribulation. When they sent me to jail many times for distributing literature, and they'd make up charges that I was interfering with police officers, they'd discuss that in the vehicles, the police vehicles. They'd say, Herr Schmidt, what do you think this shall be charged, Mr. Alamo here with? Should we charge him with receiving stolen property? No, that won't stick in the court. Let's charge him with interfering. We were talking to somebody on the street, and he came and bothered us. Okay, let's take him to jail. And then when they made up that I was an IRS violator, when actually all the money we have that came in, which was very little, we built homes for the brothers and sisters to live in, and we fed three square meals a day, and we bought apartment houses for them to live in, and bought clothes for them, paid for their medical, everything, paid for the births of their children. It just went on and on. And we're not on television. You see these glorious television preaching false doctrine and so on and so forth, and they had like thousands of people on, and the Lord just says, they'll get their reward, he'd tell me. They'll get theirs. You just keep doing what I want you to do. Well, they'd never get on the streets. I want to be like the lowly Nazarene who went out on the streets with the little gospel tracts that we have, and to invite people to come to our gathering place so that they could hear the gospel. And we'd always give them a hot meal. We have services every evening at 8, and on Sunday, 2 services, 3 and 8, and we've been doing that for over 40 years now. And and the people just kept saying that we're a cult and that we're brainwashing and mind-controlling people, and here you can see the government and the Roman Catholic cult, and all these other cults are real cults, or, you know, they're up there doing the things that they say we're doing, and all we're doing is preaching the gospel and getting people off of drugs and out of narcotics and out of lives of crime, and they were really saved. And we had an entire congregation of people you can see them on television, a huge choir and orchestra. We didn't pay them to play. They wanted to play because they were so happy that they just got saved. We didn't hire musicians to come in and play. They were people that we were supporting, and we had built homes for, and we had to pay the utilities for, and we had to buy their clothing and their furniture and all their towels and their linens and their light fixtures and everything that they had, their shoes and their socks, and to pay for their children's shoes. And now we pay for their And then, you know, all the different things that the Lord sent in the finances. We took care of the schooling. We opened up schools and have been running schools now for, gosh, over 30 years. And on and on. So we did these things where the Lord saw it. And that's why we've been able to expand throughout the world. Yeah, we don't take the glory for it. It's the Lord that did it and gave us the power to endure, even going to prison for 4 years. And I had spent a half a year in a halfway house and was separated from my children and my wife. And but the Lord has given me more. I embrace those things. I thought, my God, I'm going through this. And I've seen people in prison committing suicide because they were going to prison. I've seen a doctor friend of mine committed suicide because he thought he was going to go to prison. And I just, you know, when you know that you're doing right, when you know that you're serving the Lord, and you know that the Lord is watching everything that you're doing, you're not looking for your reward, and it's a joy to be. It's a shameful thing, you know. People look down their noses at you. People that are not, never would do anything for the Lord, or they think doing something for the Lord is going to church or giving a few bucks every week in the offering tray. That isn't serving the Lord. Serving the Lord is what we do. Okay, and the Lord sees it all. And the Lord wants you to do the same thing. And so, you know, don't be a hypocrite and think just because people see you going to church and they believe you're a Christian because you do, that isn't going to hold any water with the Lord. You could read a piece of literature that we got from this lady named Bessie. She did all those things that you're doing, and the Lord showed her, took her out of her body and gave her an experience in hell. And showed her, she was just doing all kinds of beautiful things, going to church, baking pies and cakes and raising her children, but she wasn't a soul winner. And then the Lord showed her that's what it's all about, Bessie, because if you don't start bearing fruit, if you don't start winning souls, you're going right here to hell. Now I'm going to give you another chance. And she says, if you'll just let me out of here, I will serve the Lord. I will definitely witness to everybody I see. And the Lord says, I'll be a-watching. And so she saw her dead body, and she saw her spirit going in. She said it was so horrible, repugnant, because her body was sort of old. And she said she didn't want to go back in there, but she would rather go back in there than go back to hell. And so she went in feet first, she said. And that's how we found her. Some of our boys were witnessing in a rest home in Chicago. And she stopped them and said, I have to witness to you, boys. She said, are you Christians? They said, yes, ma'am. They told me that testimony, and I recorded it. And you can have that piece of literature. That's what it's all about, Bessie. That's what the Lord told her. And you can have that literature absolutely free of charge, or all the literature that we have, and the tapes as well. Okay, we charge nothing. God gave me salvation free, and it's yours for the asking. Okay, and the Lord is yours for the asking as well. So let's keep reading.
Take care. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired, because then you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2. When you give a gift to someone in need, don't shout about it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity!
The only reason I'm telling you is some of these things that we do is to attempt you to encourage you to do the same thing, because God is blessing us, and He'll bless you as well. But He's not going to do it if you just go into church once or twice a week. We have services every evening at 8 and twice on Sunday, as I said before. Okay, keep going.
I assure you, they have received all the reward that they're ever going to get. Verse 3.
That reward is the admiration of mankind. And you don't worry about them admiring you, because it doesn't mean anything. Okay, then what?
Verse 3. But when you give to someone, don't tell your left hand what your right hand is doing.
Just do it. I mean, there's so much that we do every day. And I don't even think, I just know the Lord is watching, and we're going to get our reward. Amen?
Amen.
Some people are so stingy. And, you know, we, whatever people, I never like to, when the Lord says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Boy, if I was down and out and dirty and I had kids and just some unfortunate circumstance happened in my life, I would just love it if somebody came over to my house with a box full of groceries, $200, $300, $400 worth of groceries if I had a lot of kids, and just said, here, and what's your name? You don't need to know my name. This, the Lord told me to give this to you. Okay, bye. And if you need any more, if you don't get a job this week, give us a buzz, you know, and we'll take care of you. Or the lights are going off, and you got kids in here, and there's no air conditioning or no heating or whatever. You know, if you really love the Lord and everything, we'll help you out. Okay? Or if people, but the thing is, and just don't worry about it. If it's really of the Lord, we don't give money to people because of the actual cash, but we'll buy the groceries, or if somebody's hungry on the streets, we'll take them in and get a dinner. Or breakfast, or lunch, whatever, for them. And that's just the right thing to do, because the Lord tells you to do that, okay? But don't brag about it. I mean, we do so much of it that we wouldn't be able to do anything but just brag and brag and brag instead of talking about the Lord. But we're talking about what the Lord is talking about here, and I want you to know what it really means, you know, to live the life of Christ, for God to live out, for Christ to live out his life in and through you. Okay, there's people that every day that need help, and we encourage you to help people. Not if they're drug addicts, you don't give them money, because a lot of winos or drug addicts will buy drugs with it, but you can go and buy them something to eat, and don't give them the money. If the light bill or something like that, or the electric bill, if you're going to help them with that, just say, give me the bill and I'll go pay it. Okay? Because you've got kids in here. And a lot of times we've found that people will have us do that, and they save the money they've got. They actually have money, and they'll have you pay their bills, and then they'll go buy drugs or alcohol. And we're not going to do that. We're too wise in the Lord to do that. So be careful and make sure that you prudently serve the Lord. Then what?
Verse 4, give your gifts in secret, and your Father who knows all secrets will reward you. Teaching about prayer and fasting. Verse 5, quote, and now about prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues, where everyone can see them. I assure you, that is all the reward they will ever get.
Yeah, this is the admiration from, oh, look at how holy that person is. Look at how he's going through it, or something like that. Even when you're going through it, smile. You know, the TV cameras used to be on me when they'd be moving me from one jail to another. And when I'd go out there, I would smile for the cameras, you know. Because I know I didn't do anything wrong. That's number one. And number two, I would I wanted people to know that the power of God in me is allowing me to go through this with power, which a lot of people would say by grace, a grace of God. That means by the power of God in me, I was able to keep a smile on my face, and which irritates Satan more than anything in the world, with the exception of when you're preaching the gospel or teaching people how to live out, let Christ live out his life in you. Okay, then what?
Verse 6, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you.
Right, one time I did something bad. It was like we used to be in the custom record business, where we'd take a person to come in and want to cut a record, and whether you knew they had talent or not, you'd go ahead and take their money, and cut a record on them. And then you'd use scab musicians, not the best, or things like that, which is done a lot out in the world. And I didn't do many of those, but and I'd always hire the best musicians. H.B. Barnum did a lot of the arranging for Gladys Knight and Lou Rawls and just so many big artists, Frank Sinatra even, and the Coasters, you name it. And we were, I used a lot of his arrangements and so on. But this time it was like a Christian after I got saved, and they were a self-contained band, and I really didn't think that they would make it or anything, but they had some good songs, and so I recorded them. And the Lord didn't like what I did on that. I took them in not a very good studio, and I had to fast, seemed like for about 40 days, and I stayed in the house, and boy, I didn't dare. I couldn't eat or drink water. Or any kind of liquid. And Susie said, "You're going to die," because she didn't know that the Lord threatened me. If you don't, he says, "You cannot eat or drink until after the session is over with." Well, one of the men of the band was a police officer in Chicago, and they thought he was going to be able to come, but he had to stay an extra week. And oh my God, that just really got me. And I had to go through that, and no one. I didn't dare let anyone see me suffering through that one. It got so hot, it was fires all the way around Los Angeles, and I had to sit in an ice-cold tub just to cool down. It was like a boiling inferno in me. I wrote a piece of literature on it called Biting the Bullet. I had to bite the bullet or the Lord was going to kill me. And that's the kind of God we have. He said, either you'll do that or I'll kill you and you'll go to hell. And I did it. I went through that. And I pray that, you know, you'll be forthright with all Christians, because God will, he doesn't like it if you're ripping Christians off. So I'd rather not even do business with Christians at all, because I'm so fearful that I might accidentally do something wrong and have to go into one of those fasts again like that. And I just pretty much drink water out of my own cistern. Okay? Then what?
Verse 7. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again.
Right, the Lord is everywhere, and He knows everything you're doing, knows everything you're saying, knows everything you're thinking. And I don't like to be disturbed during a service. I let everybody know the way I'm thinking. Amen?
Amen.
I don't hold anything back. At least you know where I'm coming from. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 8. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask.
Right. He knows everything. It's just amazing. I didn't believe that until I felt His power and intelligence come down upon me in that office. I knew He knew everything I'd ever even, anything that crossed my mind. And He's powerful. So powerful beyond your natural belief. You must have a supernatural faith or belief to know that God is there. He is the air. Okay, He's your breath. He's got a light bulb inside of you, the Holy Spirit. He knows everything that's going on in and through you. Please believe me. Okay, then what?
Verse 9. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. Hallowed be thy name.
Right, so the name be honored. Hallowed be thy name. That means that you have to... The earth belongs to the Lord. Yeah, He created it, and so His name should be proclaimed or hallowed, proclaimed all over the place, in the halls of justice, everywhere. His name, it's like when we went to the moon, we wanted to put USA on the moon, on a flag, the American flag there. Hallowing the Lord's name whether you want him to have owned this earth or created it or not, it's his, and you are to say that this earth belongs to the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and hallowed be thy name. Honor his name everywhere. Tell everybody that the earth belongs to the Lord. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he even owns the hills. And he owns all the mountains and the cattle and the hills and the streams and the oceans. And it's his, you tell people that God owns this earth, not Satan. That's hallowing his name. Okay, then what?
Verse 10, may your kingdom come soon.
Yes, the king, and may his kingdom come soon. You are to tell people when you're saved, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's one of the last things that the Lord told the disciples when he was going up into heaven, ascending. He says, go to all the nations and preach this gospel to every person. He says, telling them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, you're here to overthrow Satan's kingdom. This earth belongs to the Lord, and we want everybody to know that the earth belongs to God and the fullness thereof. And it's been taken over by a lie from the devil. And so it is not Satan's world, earth. It's his world system, which is all bogus, and it's going to be destroyed. And it is destroyed more and more by every person we win to the Lord. The kingdom of heaven enters into them. And we've got another one from the clutches of Satan. Then go ahead.
May your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven.
Well, his will is that you establish the kingdom of heaven here on God's green earth. And by hallowing his name and telling people this earth belongs to the Lord. Now, the world government, who is the Antichrist regime, is a spiritual thing. They say, no, you have to obey us. No, I say you must obey God. This is the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and you are soon to be killed by the Lord because the great tribulations are already started, and you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire if you don't repent. And I'm talking to the whole White House and to the kings and queens everywhere in the world. You will repent, or you will certainly spend eternity in the lake of fire. So you will do that, and you don't know that you're going to live another day with all this terrorism going on, and you best do it right now, because we're in here now to establish the will of the Lord here on earth as it is in heaven. And you, the Lord wants to do the same thing. Now, you're not going to fight God and win. The only way to win with God is to join him, not fight him, because no one has ever won a battle with him yet, and they never will. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 11, give us our food for today.
Yeah, and he's not just talking about food to maintain your body. He's talking about this word that the Lord is talking to you through me with right now. That's your spiritual food. You need this spiritual food to stand every day. And it's we're not in this for the money by any stretch of the imagination. But you need this spiritual food. And if you're hungering and thirsting for the spiritual food of the Lord, God will provide the food that's necessary for your body. Don't worry about that. Okay, then what?
Verse 12, and forgive us our transgressions, just as we have forgiven those who have transgressed or sinned against us.
Right, there was a rich man that, a king, that a guy owed him millions and millions of dollars, and he came and says, oh, please, king, forgive me for all these debts. As soon as I get the money, I will repay you. And so the king, because he felt sorry for the man, forgave him. And then this man, there were people that owed him money, and so he had him thrown in prison and everything else, and it was told to the king. And so the king brought him forward and says, I was merciful unto you, and now you're not merciful to these people here. So you're going to be thrown in prison. This man only owed you thousands. You owed me millions. And now, so if you're merciful to others, God says here that he'll be merciful to you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so read that again.
And forgive us our transgressions, just as we have forgiven those who have transgressed or sinned against us.
Right, then what?
Verse 13, and don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Right, well then it also to is, he gives us the power to turn away from sin and to keep our mind stayed upon him and to do the works of the Lord, to help fix the church up, to help maintain the church, instead of sitting around watching television all day, or instead of playing games and things like that. He wants us to help out, because the Bible says that Satan would wear out the saints in the last days, and if you don't help out, well then you're being used to the job that you should be helping with. Somebody else is having to do for you. You're not a viable member of the body of Christ. So you get with it, boys. Get with it, girls. Okay, sons and daughters of the Lord. Okay, go ahead now.
Verse 14, for if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your forgivable sins or sins of ignorance. Verse 16, and when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, who try to look pale and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I assure you, that is the only reward they will ever get.
It's just the admiration of people. Then what?
Verse 17, but when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Verse 18, then no one will suspect you as fasting, except your Father who knows what you do in secret. And your Father who knows all secrets will reward you.
He knows everything, all secrets. Jesus is not a lie, he's the truth. And when he tells you he knows everything about you, he does. Okay, then what?
Money and possessions. Verse 19, quote, don't store up treasures here on earth where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, store your treasures in heaven where they will never become moth-eaten or rusty and where they will be safe from thieves.
Well, what does that mean? Just do everything the Lord says and you are storing up treasures in heaven. You may seem like you're poverty-stricken in this world. God will never let you go hungry, but especially if you're with the body of Christ, the actual church, the New Jerusalem, because there's plenty of food in our church and all the real churches of the Lord. And if you humble yourself and you get into the church life, the body life, you're always going to have food and they'll always find a place for you to sleep. Okay, and so there's no need for the people out on the streets to be homeless. If they really wanted to serve the Lord, they could come in and they'd never have to worry about anything again the rest of their lives. Not food and clothes, that's for sure. Then what else?
Verse 21, wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. Verse 22, your eye is a lamp for your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul.
A pure eye just reads the Word of God. And it doesn't pay, it doesn't want to watch movies and ridiculous stuff like that. Okay? That's a pure eye. Some people just think, well, we've got to become worldly, like Tony was. Well, I've been saved longer. I'm 70 years old. I was 30 years in the world, and now I've been 40, almost 41 years in the ministry. So I've been saved longer than I was in the elevated in the spiritual realm than I have been in the carnal world. And I don't miss anything from it. Okay, then what else?
Verse 23, but an evil eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness.
Right, that you will be drawn into all kinds of television and movies and what's happening in the entertainment world and things like that. Then it just pull you like it. Lights draw bugs. Okay, then what?
If the light you think you have is really darkness, how deep that darkness will be! Exclamation mark.
Either you're walking with the Lord, or you're not. And everyone that's not with me, Jesus said, is against me. And if you're against him, you're a loser. Okay, what else?
Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Yeah, you can't be part of the money world system and the Lord. The Lord provides for us. And what else?
Verse 25. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, and clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing?
Sure does. Then what else?
Verse 26. Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns, because your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than they are. Verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. Verse 28. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Verse 29. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Verse 30. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? You have so little faith! Exclamation mark. Verse 31. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Verse 32. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about those things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Verse 33. And he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern.
Right. Now, these people that are with the world government, they think that it's all right to bomb Iraq and all these other countries because they're just heathen anyway. They're Muslims, they're false religion, and it's all right to bomb Buddhists and kill them, and it's all right to Hindus to just destroy them. It doesn't matter, they're just a bunch of heathen. But the Bible says that we're not supposed to bomb them or condemn them. They're already condemned. What we need to do is preach the gospel to them. And then we don't have to fear them coming back at us, the Buddhists, the Muslims. I know that the Muslims are very capable of being saved because I've won so many of them to the Lord. I detest anyone that desires to blow people up because they don't believe in the Lord yet. What we need to do is to love the people that the Lord died for, and that means if they're in cults like Catholicism or Buddhism or any of the isms, or Hinduism, Shintoism, or any of those things, Mohammedism, preach the gospel to them. That's what the Lord wants us to do. That's spiritual warfare. And so don't think of, doing anything according to the way of the world. Read that last statement.
And he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern.
See, so the kingdom of God means that we're to increase the kingdom of God by preaching to the cults. The government, the satanic government, wants you to think that cults are dangerous. No, they're dangerous. They're the ones that believe, because anyone that they say is a cult, they believe it's okay to bomb them. I mean, if they think we're a cult, or Jim Jones, it's all right to go in there and shoot them and get the media saying that they drank Kool-Aid, or it's all right to go over to Waco and kill those people. Why not preach the gospel to them? It's okay to go over and bomb Muslims So they're not concerned about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God means that you're supposed to expand the kingdom of God by witnessing and testifying to the different cults. They say cults are dangerous. They're not dangerous to me. I don't worry anything about them. I just preach the gospel to them and they get saved. Amen? How about that? They've already brain damaged the people in the Christian realm that are not really advanced in the Lord. They don't have the fullness of the stature of the Lord, and to believe in that cults are dangerous. If they were, well, I wouldn't even go near them, but I go and preach the gospel to them tell them. I don't join them, but I tell them to join up with the Lord. Religion is of the devil, salvation is of the Lord. But just because people, I was possessed with the devil at one time myself until the Lord gave me supernatural experiences, and I received them. Then I began to find out all about the Lord, and I found the Bible, and I realized that that was it. And then God put me with this wonderful, godly woman that had been the pastor for 25 years, and I started learning all about God and His ways and the truth of the gospel. And I feel so well armed with the gospel and armored that there isn't any cult that's going to be dangerous to me. I witnessed to Hare Krishnas, to even Satan worshipers. I've won Satan worshipers to the Lord. We're not supposed to kill them. I mean, nobody's supposed to kill anybody. All right? Amen?
Amen.
So get that out of your heads, you know, like even some of the Christians today, they say, well, we can't fellowship. No, don't fellowship with them. Preach the gospel to them. You'd be surprised. They'll sit there and listen to you. They're human beings just like you are. Amen?
Amen.
And you were possessed with the devil one time, too. If you were like a hypocrite, or you say, no, I wasn't, I was always saved, you're not telling the truth according to the scriptures. Actually, the Lord calls you a liar. Let every man be called a liar, but let God be the truth. So if we're members of the Lord's body, then we're telling the truth because we're part of Him. All right?
Amen.
So you don't blow people up, Mr. Bush, Mr. Clinton. You preach the gospel to them, but you first have to get saved yourselves. Amen?
Amen.
And then you have to get the Bible into you and start serving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then you'll be capable of preaching the gospel. And then you'll win these nations to the Lord instead of killing them just because they don't believe the way you do. They're not Catholics like you are. You're certainly not Christians. Catholics are not Christians. They're the worst enemy to true Christians that I know of. We've never really been bothered by Buddhists, but these people attack us. True Christians. So they're the ones that are controlling the news media that are saying that everybody but Catholics are cults, or everybody that hasn't joined up or united themselves with the One World Church, which is controlled by the Catholics. Like you'll see in United Methodists, that means they've united themselves with the Antichrist. United Baptists, that means they've united themselves with somebody. Who are they united with? Ask them. Will they become part of the United Council of Church because they're afraid to be persecuted? But, you know, we belong to the body of Christ, and that's it. That's all there is to it. And that's the way you must be if you're going to enter the kingdom of God. That's all there is to it. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Mm-hmm. That's it. All right, now we have commentary for chapter 6 of Matthew.
6 verses 5 through 8. Public prayer is open to many distortions and abuses. Some individuals use majestic, churchy jargon that impresses people, seemingly, but not God. Others think that the key to answered prayer is repetition, thus reducing it almost to a chant, or some kind of a religious mantra. Both attitudes miss the mark because they assume prayer has more to do with technique than internal attitudes, instead of coming from the spirit and from the need, the necessity to be heard and answered. It's not the internal attitude that's coming out and realities. True heart-to-heart communication with God, whether private or public, is rewarded and will have a profound effect from God. It will cause us to have progress and will cause us to be delivered, to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. 6, verse 12 and 14 and 15.
And remember, you cannot become part of the fullness of the stature of Christ unless you are in enjoying and participating in the church life. You have to be a member of Christ's body, the New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. Then when you're in Christ and with the brothers and sisters, then you're the fullness, part of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Okay, then what?
True forgiveness for sins that are sins of ignorance is a part of God's word. Most people have difficulty in getting past the knowledge of knowing what forgivable sins and unforgivable sins are. So they get angry at the word of God, and bitterness sets in toward God and those who preach his word, who have ministered unto them. And they get mad as though they have been abused. However, asking God's forgiveness for our personal shortcomings and sins that are sins of ignorance is not hypocritical. But it is hypocritical unless we are willing to forgive others. Don't forget that forgiveness from God must come by you forgiving others. We give up forgiveness from God by denying forgiveness to others. And that's to the detriment of our growing to the fullness of the stature of the Lord, because it's not only being selfish, but it's being unmerciful, and it's self-destructive.
All right, now, praise the Lord. Now we also have part 7 of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ. Go ahead.
Putting on the mind of Christ, because our mind is filled with emotion and our self-will, they all have to be dealt with and broken by the cross. The more Christ...
And the cross is what?
The Spirit.
That's right. We have to... We can... No one can tame... No man can tame their tongue. It has to be under the subjection to the Holy Spirit. And no man can control their mind or any part of their being unless you put the cross to it, in other words, this Holy Spirit to it. So the Holy Spirit is the Bible, the Word, is both Holy Spirit and it is life, permanent life. So if you want permanent, eternal, immortal, everlasting life and power that the Spirit of the Holy Spirit gives you over your tongue, over your emotions, over your mind, over your soul, over your body, over your lust to see things, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, you must put the cross to it, the Holy Spirit to it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then you'll be fine. Okay, then what?
The more Christ as the life-giving Spirit can enter into every part of our body, including our mind. At a certain point, all the elements of our mind, emotion, and will are Christ's. Then the stature of Christ is fully grown in us if we're in the church.
No, if we're in the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, or the temple of God. You're a temple, and all the temples have to be together under a place of worship together, and we have to be united as one body. One church. Okay, then what?
At this time, all the considerations, concepts, ideas, and views and viewpoints of our mind, all the pleasure, anger, sorrow, joy, delight, and inclination of our emotion, and all the judgment, decision, intention, and choice of our will are filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, the entire element of Christ. Our mind is like the mind of Christ. Our delight is his delight, and our intention is his intention. In other words, when we think, it is Christ that thinks. When we delight, it is he who delights us. And when we intend, it is he that intends. It is his intention. At this time, every part of our inward being has been dealt with by the cross, the Spirit of God, and there is no place for self or the natural constitution. All the ground has been given over to Jesus Christ. We can say then that our whole being is filled with Christ's life, nature, and his will. It's like having half a glass of water and pouring some other substance into it, like grape juice, apple juice, orange juice, but we'll just stick with the grape juice into the glass of water, with the water representing us and the grape juice as a type of the life and nature of Christ. One who is newly saved can be compared to a glass of water with a little grape juice added, the greater part being water. There are Christians who seem at times to have and at other times not to have a little grape juice in the bottom, causing others to doubt their salvation. With others, one can be certain that they contain the grape juice, though very little. Formerly, it was just pure water. Now there is the element of grape juice within it. When there is more growth in life, it is as if the grape juice...
Impermanent life, yeah. Is though the grape juice what?
Increases, and the color thus becomes deeper.
You're more assured of your permanent life, your eternal, everlasting life, the more of Christ that enters into you, the more of the Word of God. So you may think, well, I don't feel much. That's because you're not pouring the grape juice in. You're not pouring the Lord in as much as you should absolutely have to in order to maintain eternal life to the end. The Bible says only those who continue on pouring Christ into them to the end shall be saved. Okay?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Before, when loving others, the love of such a person was solely of themselves. Now, when there's love for others, there is undoubtedly an element of Christ added. Before, he looked at things in a certain way with a certain concept of that he dream up of himself. Now it is different. There is the element of Christ added. Likewise, his emotions and will have the element of Christ added into them. Whatever he loves or delights in, whatever he considers and decides upon, it is still being mixed with impure elements. But to some extent, the element of Christ has been increased, and the color of Christ deepens. This means that Christ has grown within you.
Praise the Lord. I pray that you've been enlightened today, that you've been informed, that more of the element of Christ is dwelling in you since you've heard this broadcast today. And until tomorrow, chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, New Testament, and also part 8, Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying praise God and thank you, Jesus, and God bless you.